Thank you, all 11 of you. Really cool. This talk was scheduled somewhere today, and I'm really grateful to be here, actually. I think it's a great event, and from where I stand, I would just like to thank all the sponsors and all the volunteers and everybody involved here. You guys and girls are doing a fantastic job. All right, what am I going to talk about? Tale of Cookies. And as much as I love to bake those things, we also have the electronic equivalent of them. I could do some recipes afterwards if somebody's interested, actually. But who am I? Actually, that's me. That's my car. I have my own company for 15 years by now. I've been doing a lot of stuff in open source with open source software, basically a lot of web stuff, workshops, but I'm also business manager of a classical choir, which basically is my philosophy. You should do anything you're interested in, and if you can make money from that, that's cool, and then you can continue doing that. Drupal, actually this talk is a bit focused on the integration of PWIC, the statistics tool, with the Drupal CMS, or CMF as they like to call it. That's basically because that is my content management framework of choice, and I use that as an example. But PWIC is actually not Drupal specific or anything. You can use it even with SharePoint sites if you want. That is, if you want to use SharePoint anyway. But I've been doing a lot of Drupal-related talks recently, and this one is about cookies, as you have probably noticed. In the Netherlands, we have had the cookie law since 5th of June, and basically it's not specifically targeting cookies and stuff. It is the telecommunication law, which basically describes which pieces of information are regarded as personal information and which level of personal information is allowed to be stored in a certain format, and also which measures you have to take to prevent this information from leaking. But to focus on cookies, because it's a really handy example and it's hit the media pretty big, so there are in the law right now two types of cookies. You have functional cookies, which are, according to the law, a basic necessity. You may use these and simply inform your users and simply carry on using them. And there's the second part, there's analytics cookies. This is quite a technical challenge because most systems use one type of cookie for both ends, and that is pretty hard to split up. But the assumption in the law is that analytics cookies will contain or link to personally identifiable information. And the law actually is that as a webmaster or website owner, you are responsible for that data. So it's actually your data to work with. Functional cookies are legal as long as you inform a user, and analytics cookies you have to actually ask permission for before you can even use them. Well, that is something hardly anybody does, but that is actually the law. It became annoying, and this is also a bit annoying since my slide is being prevented by a cookie wall, which helps. But like I said, it is quite hard in a system to actually make the distinction between a functional cookie or an analytics cookie. Because what is analytics? Is analytics also page counting? Is analytics also the breadcrumb trail following of your user, anything at all? It could be a very functional use case to use one type of cookie for both ends. In the Netherlands, we had also an interesting situation where we have the public broadcasting services, the NPO. Of course, they have to comply with the law, so they have to comply with the cookie law. But also, they are required by law to give information about the actual visitors their website attracts. So here you have legislation which makes them register analytics, but the other legislation demands that they actually ask for permission before doing anything like that. Okay, they simply solved it. They put a cookie wall in front of the entire site, and you could not use the public broadcast website if you did not comply, or at least accept that. And that's the most extreme example, but you can see the difficulty between the public information providing and the fact that you should ask for permission. But basically any web shop or anybody who owned a website in the Netherlands was, if you read the law, literally almost required to do that, which became really unusable. All right, and then we've got a new concept, which is called penalties, of course, because if you have legislation, you want to have some kind of control over it, and you want to have some kind of way of enforcing it. Well, the prevention measures, you have to have a cookie policy, privacy policy, stuff like that. And actually, data loss, you have to inform your users about them. So now we have this public naming and shaming theme, which is basically the penalty. So there is no, at this time, no financial penalty if you do not comply to the law. But it's basically in the EU right now, it's a legal minefield because every separate country has implemented different rule sets, which is fantastic as a web developer, as you understand, because websites are usually confined to one country, right? No. All right. Then we added some more. We introduced here in the Netherlands the beautiful concept of first-party and third-party cookies. This actually, I think, makes sense. We now have the situation where the first-party cookie is being considered as, well, information is contained within one site, and as long as you keep it to yourself, you can inform your users for both types of usage, so the functional and the analytics, as long as you do it from your own server, host your own services for that, you're pretty much okay. The idea also behind that is that there is a general concern within the Dutch government, but also the EU in broader sense, that information is leaking to other areas in the world, and actually analytics software is a fantastic tool to spread these data. So we now have first party and third party cookies. It's also the OPTA, which in the Netherlands is the controlling authority for telecommunication law. They have introduced a cookie FAQ, frequently asked questions about the usage, which also introduced another concept, namely you can use also statically logged server logs without user consent. I'm going to get into that a bit later because the PWIC software, the alternative software I'll be talking about later, will integrate that too. But it's a bit hazy because OPTA states that any information sent after the initial request must also comply to the law, which is interesting, not only because HTTP is stateless, but what is an initial request anyway? All right. Browser fingerprinting, that's also a little bit of a minefield because the cookie FAQ doesn't state too much about it, but it's also a very nice way of identifying individual users. Actually, the only cookie that you can absolutely use is the cookie to indicate no cookies may be used, which are a lot of cookies. But also, that has a pretty narrow use case because you can almost use some smart people actually implemented the cookie blocking cookie as having a UID, so that they could per user block cookies in their profile, which kind of defies the whole concept of making it non-personally be followable. So if you do a no cookies cookie, it should only do like block cookies, yes or no. In the bigger picture, in the EU, there is much concern, and this also has been greatly improved, this concern, by recent publications about this like minor data mining thing. I think it was called PRISM. Maybe somebody knows or heard about that. I think most people in the world did. But there is a very philosophical discussion going on in the EU at the moment, and I like the title of a couple of reports. It's about the right to be forgotten. And it's actually about how much influence can you give a individual over the data he or she is spreading around in the world. Of course, there is a limit to the controllability, but the idea that it is at a European level being discussed how to handle an like universal opt-out, I think it's a very good step. Also, the EU is also very concerned about the fact that a lot of data is stored outside of the EU's. And yeah, it's also from a business point of view, what we've basically been doing in the EU is like handing just about anything we have over to like Google and some other companies, which are basically not European based. So there's talk about European clouds, European infrastructure. It is actually pretty interesting, but let's get back to the smaller picture because that is better explainable. All right, I use Google Analytics, I used to do, and actually clients of mine ask for Google Analytics. They simply have this whole concept that the only email is Gmail, the only statistics tool is Google Analytics, so they ask for a product. And this is pretty annoying, actually, because now you have to go back to the client and like explain, all right, we have legislation, and I'm sorry, I'm just a website designer or developer, but I now have to put a disclaimer on your website, which you don't want. A lot of confusing and annoying information, but clients can simply say, screw that, put in Google Analytics, I'm fine with that. All right. At first, I wasn't really interested, so I said, basically, all right, here we go, we're just gonna implement Google Analytics and fine by me. Then I actually looked in the use case scenarios, because while Google Analytics is an absolutely fantastic tool, it also has limitations. And one limitation, for instance, is if you have corporate intranets running locally, you might want to restrict the amount of traffic an internally hosted intranet is using. And if you want to connect that to Google Analytics, that's kind of not helping that. So for intranets, you can pretty much use internal software, and I started researching other use cases as well. Also, because Google is pretty transparent about exit strategies, you can simply have the Google API exporting just about anything. But still, why not look at an open source perspective? What is there? All right, introducing Piwik. Actually, it's born out of the ashes of PHP My Visits. I don't know if anybody in here actually heard of that or has ever used it. It was horrendous, in my humble opinion. And they did a very nice job re-implementing it. It's built using Zend Framework, all kind of normal architectural tools in the PHP world nowadays. It integrates really well with all common CMSs. It's actually really user-friendly. I will do a little demo later on, and it has a really nice concept of dragging and dropping reports. It looks also quite similar to Google Analytics, for that matter. But most importantly, it stores your data on your own server. It's first party, and you can actually control it. And the best part is it's all stored in a MySQL database, so you can hook up a different kind of reporting engine, like Jasper reports or something like that, to generate other reports. I think it's actually quite nice. Well, AWStats, famous tool in the web hosting business. It's the best part from Pwik is actually that it's using cookies to make unique identifiable users, while AWStats uses IP addresses, and if you have like a corporate customer which runs in a proxy server, you basically have no idea what they're doing, and with Pwik actually you do. It does click paths. It actually has all the goodies. Also with e-commerce integration, you can do campaigns, you can have custom variables added in your statistics. So, but also really cool is the fact that it actually can also parse server logs. So you can offer the opt-out to your users, and still by importing server logs, you can still have a global picture about what actually this user is doing. So it's like combining the best of Google Analytics with the hard evidence of AWStats. It also has it was really developed with the current legislation in mind. So from the beginning, there have been options like anonymized IP addresses, automatic purging of the data, and it's actually from the start has honored the do not track option, which basically nobody uses, but it's still there, and it's nice that somebody honors it. For the site managers, it offers a lot of functionality which a user can actually configure themselves, which is nice, I can assure you, and I will show it a bit later. Are there alternatives? Yep, there are. We have like Open Web Analytics. It's also a web-based tool. It's also PHP-based. It's a bit older than Pwik, but it's not that much developed from the legislation perspective. Then you have CrawlTrack, which is a really interesting thing because it actually claims to be like whole site security and analytics platform. It claims it can prevent hacks and do stuff like that. I really don't know if I want my analytics tool to have any kind of security device. I prefer Mod Security for that reason, actually. But okay, we have CrawlTrack. And then we have, of course, AWStats, Webalizers, W3Perl. They are all local software running on the server, and I think that probably Apollo 11 had a more intuitive interface than most of the tools here. Drupal integration, there's a module for that, of course. The integration part is really simple. You enable the module, actually that's the same for also Joomla and WordPress, so a little snippet of JavaScript is being inserted into your theme. You only have to point the module to your server implementation. So it's not harder to implement than Google Analytics or any other analytics tool. The integration with Drupal is really nice. You get reports from Pwik in your administration interface in Drupal. So your site editors have the reports from Pwik at their fingertips when they're working with the platform, which comes really in handy because if they want to do like a keyword search engine keyword comparison, they don't have to leave the content management platform to get the information. They can get it directly there. You still need some module in Drupal, like cookie control, to inform the user or ask for permission. That's something that Pwik model does not do, but basically, it does a lot. In the Drupal module, I'm not sure what's happening now. Still here? Yeah, all right. I haven't been electrocuted, so I guess it's okay. Inside Drupal, you have all the standard reports, visitors, the trends, the click paths your user is following, and you can also define actions which you want to follow for the user, like entry and exit pages, which is really useful if you have an e-commerce site, of course, because you want to see how a user gets onto your site and how the user is searching or looking in your site and what paths it's following. But I think it's about time to maybe do a little, show a little demoing here, so I'm just gonna do that. And I think it was already here. Yep, it is. I'm not sure if it's visible actually, and if I could request a little assistance on this particular matter, then that would be really nice. Nope. It's, I think we have to opt in to see it here. Nope, not yet. Everybody has a tablet or a laptop, maybe in themselves. Maybe you guys can. Oh, you're all right. Okay, something is. All right, which means I have to. I don't know how to do this. Okay, this is what PBIC looks like when you open the demo site, demo.pbic.org. It uses tiles to offer the different reports. Visitors map, visitor browser. If what you may do now is grab a tile and drag it across the screen just to show that that basically works. The best part is that this can actually be done by the user themselves. The administrator does not have to configure anything. Users can input their own filters like time periods. They can select everything themselves, and it's pretty intuitive. It's all right. Also, it has the possibility of adding more reports here, so a user can combine his or her own dashboard and also have this dashboard emailed to them on regular basis and intervals. So this actually is pretty nifty. And as you can see, it looks pretty recognizable. Yeah, let's go back to the presentation because demo.pbic.org. Have a look at it. It's really nice. Well, let's see if we can get the presentation back. Also, the good part, another good part is that it has a lot of migration scripts. So there are automated migration tools from Google Analytics to import data into PBIC. If you use other types of statistics software, then you can. We're back. You can also import this data, so you don't have to lose anything. You can just get on. Ah, right. Cool. Thanks. Yeah, like I said, you can do log file imports. Is this something I am doing, or I hope not? I will remain really still. Actually you should just, I think, start and try it. All right, sad that demo is not running really well, but do you have any questions perhaps? I see a hand there, yeah. You can do that. The question was, is there integration with Google AdWords or other platforms like that? Not out of the box, but you can use custom variables. So in your campaigns, in the URLs that you are using to click from the ads to your website, you can embed variables, which will be picked up by PBIC and then shown as different reports. So yes, you can do that. Out of the box, it is tracking, of course, refers. So you can see that a user has come from a certain campaign. So that is doable. But if you want to have more fine-grained result, you can use custom variables. But out of the box, refer mapping is done. So you can use that. Is that good enough? OK. Here.
I have two questions. First of all, how easy is it to set up this PBIC, and would it be hard to implement abandoned carts in shopping systems, which is fairly interesting since a lot of people, they already, you know, their email addresses and they actually were about to buy something, but you can't make up why they didn't.
You can use, to answer the last question first, you can use the ClickPaths user has followed, and you can see where the user exits or where the user stops interacting with your site. So you can use that to implement abandoned shopping carts. Myself, I prefer using the commerce platform itself for that, and since I use Drupal Commerce mostly, I can simply make a report in Drupal Commerce showing all abandoned shopping carts, and that's in views like a 10-minute exercise. But PWIC actually has that, so you can use entry and exit pages. Sorry.
In commerce, you can use Giraffe, which does this for you.
Okay.
But then you're implementing a third-party service and thus a third-party cookie.
I'm not implementing anything in Drupal Commerce. I'm actually using a Drupal Views to simply make a report of shopping carts that have not reached the checkout status, which is more easy, and you don't have to implement a third-party solution for that. Is that for that question? All right, then the first question, how easy is it to install? Well, it is simply a PHP MySQL application. So it's simply unzipping, installing a database, and the basic installation is just about as intuitive as a basic WordPress or Drupal implementation. So it also runs on shared hosting. It's really, performance-wise, really slick because it does asynchronous indexing. Hits are stored in a local log file, which is then parsed every couple of minutes and indexed in the database, so your user will not notice any kind of delay. So installation is pretty simple. Also, if you want to use features like log file import, then you have to configure a cron job for that on the system itself. But as long as you use the basic web analytics stuff, you can simply install it in your web root, install the MySQL database, and it runs beautifully. All right. Any other questions? Over there.
Coming.
I thought that the cookie law in the Netherlands was withdrawn or partly withdrawn. Can you elaborate on that?
The cookie law in the Netherlands is still in effect. There have been a couple of really confusing signals given by the government. There is actually, there was a letter from Minister Kamp from December, which introduced the concept of first party and third party cookies, and which also mentioned that the law would be rewritten somewhere soon. As of today, there is actual work being done on rewriting the law to make it a little less brain dead, but still it is in effect the way it is, and which basically means it's pretty much unimplementable. Yeah, all right. Anybody else, perhaps, or please?
I'm missing anything? No.
All right.
Okay.
Then you have a question. All right, cool. So now you have some more time to think of more questions.
You talked about a very tight integration between this tool and Drupal. How does it integrate with other CMSs?
It is a platform by itself. It is not exactly integrated with any system other than there are plugins and modules for other systems to consume the APIs from PWIC. So it integrates well with Drupal, but also with WordPress, also with Joomla. I'm actually doing a SharePoint integration at the moment with PWIC. So it has the organization itself has nothing to do with Drupal. I chose Drupal as my own content management system of choice, and to at least to tell you about the level of integration that is possible. But it works with all major CMS. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? No? All right, on that note, then I'll say thank you to Hans de Rat, and let's have a round of applause for him.
Thanks for staying.